Blog Talk Radio.
Getting there, gentlemen, but it was a better intro than we've had recently. And this is the Sunday show at 6 p.m. on Here Be Monsters Radio with Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and Gwen Berry. And today, the title on our show, as it's been posted, is Girls Vote for Girls and Boys Vote for Boys.
But you know what? I think we should subtitle it. Gwen,
what?
I think we should subtitle it Harmony, because we can't infight. We on the left cannot infight. I've said this for years. When you infight on the left, it leads to a Republican or a conservative victory, and we can't have that.
Absolutely, especially with the Supreme Court being in the balance right now.
Oh, God, yes.
We are in the primary mode, and we're all
right.
Picking our candidates right now. And for a long while, I was very enthused about, and still am, by the way, about the issues that Bernie has put on the table.
Yeah.
10 years ago, you would have never seen this. I'm not really thrilled with his record with certain things. And looking at the numbers on everything, I think it's just my opinion that Bernie would be a one-term president if he ever got it, and then he couldn't even get a tenth of what he's proposed out. And the really important thing was I found an article on the New York Times by some of the economists who did the numbers on this. And you know, as long as it didn't say Harvard study, I was feeling better about it.
Mm.
And basically, he's suggesting that in a 10-year lapse of time in the government structure, that the growth of government would go it would go upwards to $20 trillion or more, and it's based on an income level rise from employment and a GDP rise of between 2 and 3 or 4%, which we have not seen that kind of growth since World War II.
Right.
And I think it's pie in the sky. And I think the most valuable thing that is happening out there right now, other than the youngsters, like when Obama ran, getting enthused and being a part of it.
Right.
The other thing is that Bernie has put it square on the table, and he does it now just about every time. It's kind of depressing in a way to hear the crabby old uncle keep on screaming about the 1%. And the reason I say that is because, to me, the most important thing is climate change. And he's eschewed anything else but talking about, you know, the very important topics of election reform with money.
Oh, yeah.
And the very, very important Wall Street problem we have in this country. And because he's doing such a good job of it right now, I think that when the general election comes along, and my candidate, the lady in the crowd, begins to go into that general election, if she veers back towards centrism, then I think she's going to find that it's going to be a huge dip in the enthusiasm in her campaign. It certainly will be with me.
Right.
And I think she also must be thinking about the legacy that she will leave as a president. So I'm betting on that, and betting with full knowledge of what I'm saying. I'm betting on that because, Jack, you gave me a good one before we went live. You said you've always been so critical of Hillary. What is
Yeah, you blasted her left,
oh,
right,
yeah,
and center. And now all of a sudden you're jumping on her bandwagon. Well, I understand it, Gwen, and I respect your decision. And there's a certain amount of a good amount of pragmatism involved in your decision, which I respect and I acknowledge that. I just don't want to see people bad. I don't want to see Hillary people beat up on Bernie. I don't want to see Bernie people beat up on Hillary supporters. It's counterproductive and it's devastatingly bad. So we can't have that. We've got to respect each other and get along civilized the way we've always done on the left here for the most part in our lifetimes. There have been battles in the past, but they're pointless. They end up giving the Republicans the win, and we can't have that. Not with these wackos that are out there
and
today.
Media is driving this, fueling it.
Oh, they love it. They love controversy,
right,
and spectacle that drives up ratings.
I don't know if you guys heard this morning, but I saved this clip. Amy Goodman was on CNN today. Do you want to hear what she had to say? It was beautiful.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Go ahead. Let's put it on.
Okay.
Jim, because while you're putting it on, let me just
talk about
in here. Say,
we've seen it in public media, perhaps an outsider herself. Amy Goodman, the host and executive producer of Democracy Now! It's an independent and ad-free daily news program that just celebrated its 20th anniversary, which will be marked with a new book called Democracy Now! 20 Years Covering the Movements Changing America. Amy, do you think of yourself as an outsider in the media?
Certainly, because the media is so commercial. It is so driven by corporate interests. And it's so important, though, that people recognize there is a whole independent media world out there. I mean, Democracy Now!, we started on 8, 9 community radio stations 20 years ago, and now we're on 1,400 public radio, television, public access, community college stations.
Do you cover a campaign like Donald Trump's differently because you don't feel any commercial pressures?
First of all, we do not emphasize the polls. I would love the media there to be a month without polls.
Yeah.
What is the value of these polls? And I know you were just talking about this, but if I am making a decision about a candidate, I want to weigh their record. Do I care what you think or my neighbor thinks or the person next to me? I want to make an independent decision. This obsession with polls, the amount of money that goes into polls, the amount of times polls get it wrong and yet determine the way people go. Instead, pour that energy, investigation, and money into people's records, whether they're businessmen like Trump or they're politicians like Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. Look at their records. What have they done? Compare their rhetoric to what they have done throughout their life. These people are not blank slates.
I would say there is value, though, in knowing what proportion of the electorate believes Donald Trump's message is a valuable one.
Well, you find that out with an election. You find it out with the primary and the caucus. Mm-hmm. And what you just said, the word proportional, yes, that's what's important. Instead, flashing all day, people just should count the times that every network flashes the polls. Are we telling people what to think? We need to really get into their records and continually talk about, for example, Donald Trump. You cannot avoid what he has said. Now, he is not a politician, but he has a long corporate business record that must be investigated.
Right.
You have the kind, you know, calling women fat, dog slobs, disgusting.
What Megyn Kelly brought up back in August. Yeah.
Right. This is very important, calling Mexicans rapists and murderers. And just in the last few days, of course, the chant, build that wall, build that wall. The shudder this must send through not just people outside the country, the idea of fortifying America, but about people inside the country.
But hasn't that received significant, maybe even saturation coverage?
The way Muslim parents must feel when their children hear that Muslims will be barred from America. Let's hear more Muslims in the media. I mean, it's not just about pundits talking about how someone must feel, but it's going to the grassroots and looking at targets. You know, the other day you had a really interesting interview with Bob Schieffer, and he said, you know, Donald Trump sort of voices what you want to tell your boss. I don't think it's what you want to tell your boss, you know, what angry people want to say. I think it's the opposite. I think it's he uses the bully pulpit to bully the most defenseless and powerless people in our society. And I think all religions teach, and even if you're an atheist, that there's something terribly wrong with going after the most powerless. That's easy, and it's wrong.
You're talking about Donald Trump? Let me flip it over to Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
And ask you whether you think it's fair that we use the VC candidates, that we talk about them in the same sentences.
No.
That we describe anger that exists from the bases of both of these candidates.
Well, there is clearly, we are at a critical tipping point in the way people feel, the disappearing middle class, the fact that people feel so threatened. Now, you can target different causes. Donald Trump chooses to say it's the people who have the least that are hurting you.
And you're saying
what
Bernie targets
Bernie
the people who have the most.
Is, yes, I mean, just look at the study. 62 people in the world, two-thirds of them, like 42, whatever, are American, have more wealth than 3.5 billion people in the world.
Is it striking you that Sanders has made this a mainstream media issue?
It
they
is.
Have talked about quite a lot now.
It's very, very important.
Let me
I mean, there's no question that he has deeply impacted Hillary Clinton's campaign and touched a nerve in America, if nothing else, that so many people are revved up in this election cycle. Young people are getting involved, that they can make a difference. This is enormous.
What a beautiful, beautiful set of quotes. Amy Goodman is on target all the way. I couldn't be more proud of her. I'm glad I watch her all the time on free speech TV, and that network TV basically ignores her. I'm amazed she is probably just be publicizing her book while she is invited on CNN.
That's exactly right, Jack. That's why she was on there. But the point was that, you heard her. You heard her. I think she made a very accurate analysis.
Absolutely.
When you look at how these pollsters were going, I listened to them yesterday pretty much all day long working here at the bench. I had either MSNBC or CNN going back and forth on. And those idiots over at MSNBC are touting, you know, that Rubio has a chance, and they were all really voting, rooting for Jeb.
Well, that's that damn Joe Scarborough. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
And so's Mika Brzezinski. She's a token liberal who's a weak, weak, wimpy piece of crap. I don't have any faith in them at all. And I don't like Chris Matthews either. His mind's already made up on stuff all the time. He's a very narrow-minded man.
He started out being really gung-ho for Hillary. And then he saw Hillary slide the polls, and he took up Bernie's cause.
Oh, yeah. he's weird. He's a weirdo.
He's a fair-weather friend as a political Yeah,
that's
campaigner.
It. That's it.
But most of the, you know, I'm surprised because when election season comes around like this, I pay attention to Chris Hayes, who's obviously for Bernie. And I pay attention to Rachel Maddow, who's obviously for Bernie. However, both of them are being pretty honest about the deficits in those candidates, and also instead of just pounding on the weak side of Hillary Clinton, They are also giving time to the stuff she is accomplishing and what she is doing right now, especially on the candidate trail. So I think that I can trust some honesty from Maddow and Hayes.
Absolutely.
This pisses me off a little bit, the way he gets so up Bernie's pushy there. I mean, he really does.
Yeah.
If somebody he's interviewing that's pro-Hillary, he almost tries to talk him out of it. It's funny to listen to sometimes, but he's very good at what he does.
Oh, yeah, and so is Rachel Maddow. There's no doubt about that.
She teaches. She's still teaching people what it really means, and I like that wonk in her and her putting that out there, and she and Nicole Wallace got into it last night, back and forth with smiles, but you could tell the tension building as Nicole Wallace.
I'm not a big fan of Nicole Wallace, so I hope she mopped up with her.
But she was real high on the fact that Trump won by so many points in South Carolina. Yeah, and then they're saying the other part about it is I don't know if you guys have been listening to this. I know Jack pretty much doesn't pollute his ears too much, but
well, you know, when I see all these talking heads sitting around, and a lot of them are talking heads, let's face it, they're just analyzing shit till kingdom come, and for what point? It's just insane. They just babble and babble and babble and babble, and then they go to a commercial break, and it makes me sick. I don't watch commercial TV. I hate it. So
yeah.
I watch free speech mainly, Link TV, and damn little commercial TV, because it's so disgusting. And the crap they put on there and all the biased moderators and stuff, it's just insane.
Agreeable.
I was going to say, Jack, but I do listen to it because it is corporate-funded propaganda, and
exactly.
I want to hear what they're trying to put forth. That way I develop my arguments,
you know,
and bring
out
the points
of
saying,
you know
what,
fill of it.
This is
I get
crap.
My fill of it when it's covered on Tom Hartman or Amy Goodman
uh-huh.
sometimes, and then I can see snippets of it, and that's all I need. To ingest a whole meal of that stuff will rot my stomach.
Someone to say high calorie, low nutritional value.
Exactly. It'll give you an ulcer. It gives me an ulcer.
Absolutely.
So I don't even bother.
I understand.
But
I understand.
That's just my input on it.
Well,
yeah, you're allowed to.
I tell you what, I listened to Nicole Wallace spewing as she was, and I think it was kind of pissing off Joe Scarborough too, because he's worried for his grand old party, you know.
He sure is. Yep.
Oh, well, any real clear thinking, critical thinking, Republican, registered Republican, like I said,
right.
I've got a 150-year history family of belonging to the Republican
yeah.
Party.
Yeah.
I've got my absentee ballots right here in Columbus to vote back to home in Maryland. And
mm-hmm.
I'm looking at who I've got to choose from. It's all crap.
I know.
You know, you're talking about the harmony and stuff where, you know, the progressives have to get together because of the importance of what's coming up in the future of this year, of the Supreme Court, the direction of the Supreme Court, and just legislation in general.
Yes.
That's going to benefit the working middle class. The other side is I've got to be careful. It's a circus.
And
it
it's
is
a tax break for billionaires, continued
circus.
Tax breaks.
It's an embarrassment.
Yeah, it's an embarrassment, and it also is anti-worker. It's really anti-labor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, exactly right. So.
Yeah.
And I don't care what one of them said. You know, well, we're going to make America great, like back in the days. This is Rubio saying, back when growing up, during the Reagan, and we're going to have a new Reagan revolution. I thought,
yeah,
when the working middle class they busted the unions. The working middle class now is working for more hours, for less pay, less benefits. That's the direction you want to continue going. I'm sorry,
yeah.
Rubio. But
well, Rubio
I
talks
who
shit.
I
he's a little yuppie puppy, and he talks shit. That guy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He's throwing out these phrases, trying to get attention. He's just a wannabe. All he is a wannabe.
And Cruz trying to convince people he's the second coming of Christ.
No, he is.
And
what
Trump,
a phony.
Trump has such respect for women, he's collected four of them. While screwing out on the other.
And he's such a great businessman, he's declared bankruptcy four times.
Right, you know?
God, what a pile of bullshit.
Remember Trump Airlines?
They're
gone.
Trump is the one out there blowing the horn against any kind of immigrants. And he puts
mm-hmm.
his wife in front of the microphone. And, thank you. And she talks in broken English. It's like...
yeah, I am going to be much liking this country, and I want to be the first lady.
Yeah.
Well,
you
know,
exactly.
he's a master at PR. Let's face it, he's getting away with this bullshit. The mainstream media is not calling him on the carpet as they should be. They just all they do is report his nonsense, and they act like it's not worth investigating. Just here's what he says, you know. And
here's what a bunch of crap. Let me interject real quick. When they asked him about lying, you know, other candidates lying and stuff. And he said, you know, who was it that said that he promised that they would never lie to him? And they asked Trump, and he says, well, I know, I don't lie. I don't tell any lies. And the thing is they just had a program on one of the Sunday morning talk shows, Meet the Nation and stuff, and those that do like a fact check, and they said, look, this wasn't even a challenge. Everything,
yeah.
he, you know, not 85% of what he's coming out with
is a lie.
Lies.
It is. It's bullshit.
You know, so this wasn't even difficult for us to research. It was blatantly right there. But yet,
and
people are swallowing it hook, line, and sinker.
Because there's a lot of, you know, people are disgusted with politics. That's a danger because it's being used by crafty people on the right to turn people against the government in general and to elect their own candidates based on bullshit. And, you know, it's just, it's fraud. It's fraud. It's political fraud. And they're getting away with it.
You know
it's up to us to fight it.
In the book 1984, it was called Newspeak. You know, we're going to have, this much rationing of, 5 pounds per week of meat to them. And then the next week they come out and say, there's going to be an increase of meat. We're going to give you 3 pounds per week.
Yeah, I know.
It's called Newspeak. That's exactly what we're hearing now. It's coming true.
The thing is that what's been going on with these talk shows, when you get the old handlers from the Republican Party especially in the last 24 hours, Finn, they're afraid that they're losing their party because
and they are.
I I've said this on the show many times. Back in 2005, I had an hour-long one-on-one with former Vice President candidate Jack Kemp. And I warned him then of embracing this reactionary far-right wingnut section, which was really the old Klansmen, the old John Birch Society, the religious fanatics. And he was just blowing me off because, it's a good demographic to get whipped up at election time. And the quote was, whipping up the nut jobs.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? The nut jobs, the insane asylum, the inmates of the insane asylum are taking over the sanatorium.
Mm-hmm.
This is
exactly
what the Republican Party is today. And I told him about it back in 2005.
Many of them
are flying over the cuckoo's nest.
Absolutely, exactly.
You know?
I think one of the more important factors here, we're all paying so much attention to the national election when we should be paying attention to the House.
Local races.
Absolutely.
Even your city school board, your school district school board should be paid attention to.
Wing nuts there. I mean, that's just insanity what Texas has done.
Florida.
And you know what, guys? You know, this has all been funded by billionaires who know the score, and they're very, very surreptitiously sneakily going under the radar with their strategy, and it's working brilliantly to elect as many Republicans at all levels of government, conservatives as they can, and that is what is so dangerous. And now we're finally seeing it affecting the federal level. Used to be, you know, pretty much solid Democratic territory, even after the Democrats grabbed the Senate back in 87 from Reagan. They held it for quite a while, but it's in recent years it's been a bonanza for conservative candidates because they've had so much support from the ground. Look at the gerrymandering that's occurred. It's just districts are shaped like pretzels, for God's sakes. It's insane.
Yeah, Jack, I'm glad you brought that up. In North Carolina, they tried to take it to the Supreme Court, saying that they did not have time to redistrict North Carolina, which is so pathetically gerrymandered in favor of Republican candidates.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the Supreme Court said, no, it's a basket case. You will redistrict your areas and something more palatable and sane.
Good. Thank
God.
You've
got to quit this stealing elections. Mr. North Carolina.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And look what it leads to. Look what this conservative reactionary government leads to. Look at Rick Snyder in Michigan. He's completely thrown out whole city councils and mayors. His own appointment guys. He puts them in charge of things that like water for city government or for city population of Flint, and it ends up being poison because they went the cheap route and they poisoned the people with lead contaminated water. I mean, what the hell's wrong with this country
that
we allow this kind of shit? And why isn't that guy in jail?
Other than lining the pockets of their 1% overlords.
Exactly. And why isn't Rick Snyder in jail and all the legislators who voted for that bullshit?
It was a criminal act. I will
toot my own candidate's horn on this one. Not only has she made Flint one of her pet causes right now.
Good for her.
Great. She's also made mention that if nothing progresses by the time that the new president, meaning her, walks into office, she'll have him up on charge.
Well, thank God for that. I love it.
Absolutely blatant. She's absolutely blatant about a few things, and that's one of them.
Good. That's good. I hope she turns her focus on Wall Street bankers, too.
Walker in
Wisconsin. That guy's a crook, too.
That one there, and I'll tell you what, and Kucinich, who's hitting the bottom of the barrel of this presidential race of Ohio, he's trying to be taking Ohio in the exact same path, trying to make another image, just like those other two states.
Kasich,
here in Ohio.
You mean, not Kucinich. You mean Kasich.
Thank you. Kasich.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
Kucinich is completely different.
Right, sorry, my phone.
He's out of government now, too.
I've always liked Dennis Kucinich. I got to
talk
to him on the phone
once. Of course, the mainstream media has portrayed him as a kook and all that stuff, and a wild peripheral and all that stuff. He's solid. He's solid.
He's a serious politician, but genuine and has good ethics, and that's his biggest problem.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's another point. Another point is that when you're making choices now for this new national election, you have to come down to, I know there's a lot of people within the party, the Democratic Party, who will, you know, especially among progressives, who will say, okay, Bernie didn't make it. We're throwing it behind Hillary. But you know what? I got to tell you, I think a lot of the young people will go over to Trump. I really do.
Oh, God, I hope not. Oh, what a disaster that would be.
Well, everybody keeps touting that Bernie has all these legions of youngsters out there, and he does have a lot of young people showing up. But when it comes down to the vote, it's not showing up as large as they claim it, although he is getting more young. Right now.
Well, it did in Iowa, it did in New Hampshire. Yeah. You know, I don't think we can generalize like that quite yet, Gwen. You know, I don't think that's a safe generalization at this point, because he is definitely drawing young people, and they are definitely volunteering at record rates. His amount of getting contributions from average, ordinary citizens blows away everything Obama did, and Obama set a record. So we can't ignore that stuff. It's too important to ignore, and it's very valid.
Well,
yeah, I mean, I'm very encouraged to see Bernie doing well, because as far as me personally, the message that he's saying is the working middle class has got to be given a break and a really some true representation instead of these
1% fairness. That's all we want is fairness.
We've got this plutocrats that have been buying every bit of the government.
Right.
We need a control-alt-delete reset.
And Wall Street bankers should be in jail, and I'm all for that. Those guys didn't even get by scot-free, and they're still doing the same old bullshit all over again.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people don't realize in the last, you know, when Obama came in, they put rules and regulations and restrictions on banking. This last budget bill that they did back in November or late fall, and okay, yes, we will give Obama this bill here, but they put a rider on there saying all this banking regulations will be revoked, and they signed it.
Yeah, see, that's insane.
So we're right back to square
Paul
one
Ryan
of where
and all
W.
Slick,
Bush had us.
Slick hardcore conservative Ayn Rand idiots, devotees,
right,
that are all idiots, and they're missing the point, and they're Friedman advocates as well, too. Those people are insane, and they're the reason this country is going to hell economically, except for the very wealthy. That is not a good situation, and we're battling that with our last breath, because it's bullshit.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just like Koch brothers funded and had all the Bundys and those, the Me Toos, like the one they called in here a few weeks ago about, you know, the government's got too much property here, you know, and stuff. You know, too much control, right? That's all funded by the Koch brothers. They had that whole demographics out there in that West thinking that they're the victims because government was their fault, you know, their problem.
Yeah.
You know,
the Koch brothers
the
are
man,
very,
right?
Very dangerous. And so is Sheldon Adelson. He works under the radar now, too. These guys are sneaky, sneaky, cowardly billionaires. And they use their money to get their own thing their own way. And they're hoodwinking people. And they're using that to deceive them into voting for the candidates they want.
Right.
And
the
they candidates
want to grab
they want
the public
are
land
not
that's
good
out
for
there
the country.
With the mineral wealth that could be there, potentially there.
But do you
and,
know,
you know, go ahead, Gwen.
Do you know who's saying the same thing? The billionaire candidate is saying the same thing as Bernie Sanders. And that's why I suggest that a lot of
people. Yeah, but he's using it very deceptively.
Of course he is, but you know,
he's not gonna equal the score and take from the other billionaires. No, he's gonna use them and all the dumb, low information voters that support him to get elected, and then God only knows what he's gonna do after that.
Line his pockets, honey. Line his.
Oh,
pockets.
Absolutely,
big time.
Absolutely.
Big time.
Well, it's just like when Dick Cheney chose himself to be vice president.
Another
under
crook.
W. Bush.
Yep.
And basically then ran the White House because W. Bush was too senseless to even know what was going on.
Yeah, he did.
It
he
was
deluded
all about
even
lining
Bush.
Dick Cheney's and his corporation Halliburton's pockets.
And New American Century
and, that goes
and all
with
that
Bechtel,
bullshit in Iraq and all that
right,
stuff.
All
that was all Cheney and
Bechtel,
Rumsfeld.
Right. It was all about lining their pockets. No big contracts. Taxpayers' dollars. Right.
Non-bid contracts. Give me
right.
a
and then,
break.
Then put all the wealth, all the profits of that into Dubai so they didn't have to turn around and pay taxes back here to the Americans. To, you know, we funded it, they stole it, and they stuffed it in Dubai to make it untaxable.
Exactly.
That's what
and,
the
and,
W administration was about.
You know? But, you
well,
know,
well,
Gwen, you guys...
I have asked you, Wayne, as a Republican, how did you respond to the idea that I think I heard Joe Scarborough saying, well, the most qualified Republican was actually Jeb Bush. And
well, I heard that news too. I heard that same verbiage. Bullcrap. That was nothing more than the next continuation of the oil cartel. We're going to call it just a drug cartel, an oil cartel in Texas, funding him to do the exact same thing they did under W.
He's just another
nothing.
Wannabe.
And the thing is, at least people realize that because that man couldn't get out of the low single digits. Three, maybe six at best. But
it
people
does.
Knew.
Look,
it's
when you're running for president and you've got to ask your audience to clap, please clap. What kind of malarkey is this? How pathetic.
Listen, you know what's really, really great about this election season, and not enough of us are saying it enough. Money doesn't seem to talk in this one. Trump. He isn't spending dick. And Bernie Sanders is, you know, he's been spending a lot of money, but he wasn't when he first got started. And people aren't paying attention so much to commercials right now as they are to the live time with listening to these candidates.
Well, you're right. Well,
yeah, they're
Bush,
doing it the old-fashioned way.
Jeb Bush had a war chest.
The country.
Yeah, Jeb Bush had a war chest, Karl Rove war chest. Of all the major 1% donors, right, that were kept funding money, even when he was losing, he still was having a cash flow. That's why he dropped out, because once he lost South Carolina, and after he brought W out there, because South Carolinians love W. Bush, quote-unquote, right,
vote
for him is like voting for me, and I know that you love me. And he still ended up with 3% crap hole numbers.
Well, he is a crap hole. That guy is so uninspiring, isn't even funny.
Then that's when
nothing,
his funding
he has nothing new to
said,
offer the country. It's the same old, give billionaires more tax breaks, and automatically the country will do better. What a bunch of bullshit.
Exactly.
We've had enough of that crap.
I know. I
Reagan trickle-down theory that never did trickle down. It was a carny show, sideshow of everyone.
That's neocon BS. But one thing I heard, it wasn't on television. I read a headline about Jeb that said what killed him was his decency, compassion, and rigor for the job.
People remember his brother, and they said, no, and hell no. We don't need another W. Dick Cheney.
We don't need another that line of Bush. We've had enough Bushes.
Right. Yeah, well,
Bushes
have
failed
twice.
We don't need a third one.
Even his dad wrote a book saying, these bastards misled my son. They lined their pockets and stole the money and ran it off to Dubai to hide it. Basically, Daddy Bush said that in his book.
But Daddy Bush was a big supporter of Cheney early on. And, you know, They're all pigs in a poke. They're all the same, you know.
Well, yeah, it's
a matter of degree.
I got to agree with Jack. I mean, I lived under Bush in Florida as a governor, and he was very good at PR, making it seem like he was being very magnanimous. But the truth was, it was like every other week, it was like a great job brownie with whoever's friend he was putting in.
He's a crook. They're all crooks. Yeah. They're really tainted. Well, they're very corrupt.
And it also came out. I mean, his first slogan was, "We're going to fix America." And what did the whole general population come out? Yeah, like the way you rigged the damn election in Florida. You fixed that one real good, too.
And Wall Street.
That's Jeb Bush's legacy. He stole an election in Florida. He's worthless.
Yeah, right. Well, he's getting the karma on that one right now, isn't he? I got to say, I'm looking forward to seeing who Trump pounces on next. I heard he's already doing a birther thing on Rubio.
On Rubio?
Yeah.
Rubio was born here.
Matter of fact, there's someone under Trump, I'm sure with his, you know, they are suing to prove to have him disqualified as a potential candidate because he was born in Canada.
That's Cruz,
I'm sorry, you said Rubio.
Rubio was born here.
Yeah, but Trump is doing a birther thing on Twitter about him today. I mean, it's ridiculous. I watch guys. I follow Trump and all Twitter, and I see this stuff come up, and I go, "You got to be!" It makes me laugh.
Oh, I'm sorry. My mind instantly went with Cruz because I knew that he filed a suit to have Cruz disqualified. I didn't know he was going after Rubio.
I frankly think he shouldn't be running. I don't think he's qualified. I don't think his citizenship is true. You know, he's not he's not born an American.
Not only that, he's way out there. His ideas are insane.
He's scary as hell. And the Republican Party, the old party members, are like scared as hell that he'll get any foothold.
Yeah.
They don't.
Well,
they
you know,
Trump than him.
how is Cruz doing this? You know, he's got some money behind him, but all the Washington Republicans hate his guts. All his Senate colleagues can't stand him with good reason. He's an arrogant, self-centered son of a bitch. And people like that, that's not politicking. That's being a goddamn bully and a dictator. And, get out of the race, Cruz.
I've always said, anytime you wrap the American flag around your shoulder and crave the Bible to your chest for all your sanctimonious aspects, that's the person you want to watch.
Exactly. He's phony.
Well, you know,
exactly. Phony and manipulative.
Right.
He's got to know where some bodies are. Like Hillary knows where bodies are buried. She'll make things happen because she'll bully it through.
Well, that's
hopefully she'll emulate if she is elected. I hope she emulates LBJ that way. I hope she emulates LBJ that way.
I think she's quite capable of it. You take a look at her. You don't think she isn't capable of doing. I think she's a roaring.
And with Bill advising her in the background, I'm sure that's a pretty potent force you're talking about there.
She is smart as a whip. She's got a memory that is more than a lawyer's vote.
She can defend herself. Look at that 11 hours of testimony before a very hostile Congress, and they couldn't pin a damn thing on her.
Matter of fact, she made them all look like asses.
Yep.
And she got up and congratulated every one of them like a lady afterwards. That's what really started
She has class. She has class. There's no doubt.
And gosh knows, the woman has pulled some shit. But I gotta ask you, if you're going to make a change, especially a program change throughout a state or two, that requires so much money and the politics are not behind you, where do you go to get it? You go sit on the board of Walmart and you get the money out of the Walton. She did that.
Yeah,
and she
did. She's very successful.
Program that is now now the template within many of the public schools in this country, and it's good. It's good stuff. What I'm not excusing. I'm not agreeing. I am saying she got the job done.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. She got.
Well, that,
she
you know, Glenn, we're talking about politics here, and that means you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours, and I'll find a way to get you to do what I want, even though you don't want to do it. That's exactly what she's good at.
Also, what you know, I mean, having enough of us seen enough fictional television that's imprinted off of what goes on in D.C., I mean, the truth is...
Hollywood bullcrap.
I had an uncle in the House for over 40 years, was a Republican. In my summers, when I was a kid, I campaigned for him. I watched him and other senators and congressmen put the EPA over and made it happen by blackmailing Nixon. I know that for a fact. That's how that got.
Yes. I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, and that was a man who hired interns and used his money to spend on being informed by interns who knew what they were doing and went out and did the research. You don't see that in the Republican Party these days.
No. It's a whole different animal. Washington's really changed for the worse over the years. It's just not. And in the old days, they used to work 5 days or 4.5 days a week. Christ, they're lucky to get them put in 3 days a week now, and they draw out a mammoth salary. It's just disgusting. We are getting screwed as taxpayers, supporting a worthless Congress that all it does is grandstand and bullshit and make a big scene and a big spectacle and do nothing.
Right. It's all about sound bites with them.
It is.
Nice work if you can get $175,000 a year to do absolutely nothing.
It's smoke and mirrors. The only thing they do is campaign. That's all they do. Collect money. And they collect
money. That's why we got to get the money out of politics big time.
Yeah.
Which gets back to Citizens United. We need to get
that's why we need the Supreme Court back
in line.
You guys,
out of the
that is why
hands.
We cannot allow a conservative victory this fall, because we'll be saddled with the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
It'll be the worst in history. We have a chance to have the most liberal Supreme Court in our lifetime if the right person gets into the office, into the White House, and can appoint and get those nominees in place.
And enough Republicans are kicked out of the House.
Right.
Well, that's the other thing, too. Now, this is the time the Senate and the House, there's all these Republican seats are now up for grabs.
Right,
and
especially in the Senate.
And if the country goes to either Bernie or, let's just say Hillary for the sake of argument, does go for Hillary versus Trump, then that also usually causes a wave that'll overtake the Senate.
Yeah, let's hope
they
have deep coattails. That's what we're talking about. Coattails.
Yeah, right. No, right.
That's what we
need.
I don't think we're going
to
be successful with the House.
Start that wave, and the rest of the wave will follow through throughout the House and the Senate.
I don't think in this election we'll be successful with the House, but there's a very good chance that we'll be successful in the Senate, and I'm banking on that, and that'll be a good foothold. Be like D-Day. We didn't conquer all of France or all of Germany by landing on the beaches at D-Day, but it was a damn good start, and it led to many good things.
That's a good analogy.
That's well put.
Yeah,
you
get your foot in the door and then keep marching forward.
Yep, that's right.
The thing is, down here, Rubio's seat is up for grabs, and Alan Grayson is for it.
Get it.
So is a guy named Patrick Murphy, the other Democrat, and then there's another Democrat contender. Her name is Pam Keith. Nobody knows her. She can't get much money behind her, but she's the one I pick.
She's a progressive, right?
She's a true progressive. So is Alan.
Right.
But the thing with Alan is that he doesn't compromise. He gets out there.
He doesn't,
there
but he does have a name that's already established that will aid him.
That's true, and that's going to make a difference when I go to vote, honestly. Mm-hmm. But Patrick Murphy... It's one of Debbie Wasserman Schultz put in corporate.
Yeah, he's a pushover. He's a Republican light.
Yeah, it's what he is. And he's also bought by K Street already. He does absolutely no legislating. All he does is campaign and work for more money.
Yeah, get rid of him.
And the guy, and that we also got a congresswoman, a Democrat congresswoman in this district who used to be mayor of West Palm Beach. Her name is Lois Fangle or something. It's skipping my head in the moment. But she is nothing but a corporate Dem, too. And she made a deal with Wasserman Schultz also. And
yeah. Wasserman Schultz has got to go.
Oh, my God. But she's pissed off over half the DNC.
Yeah. No, she's a divisive figure, and she's not doing her job.
No, she isn't. But I think I mentioned this last week. I mean, when I was working for Obama in 08, I watched her dress down volunteers on the floor. Volunteers, mind you, who did their best, but because they mm-hmm. didn't achieve what she expected from them, she mm-hmm. dressed them down like it was a military academy, and she was nasty. And everybody...
No, she's a bitch.
Yeah, everybody in that room noticed. And I'll tell you what, when it came to, because I voted for Dr. Stein last election, and I saw people that were in that room working for Stein, and I know they're still working for Stein. They don't want to have anything to do with the DNC because of Wasserman Schultz.
Exactly.
You know,
oh, she's a blue dog. She's a worthless blue dog. She's a suck ass, and she's only out for herself and her own eventual appointment somewhere else. She wants to be on the cabinet.
She does.
They ought to have her become the ambassador of Borneo and get her the hell out of the country.
Well, that's one solution.
I got to ask, who do you think that Clinton would choose, and who do you think Bernie would choose as a running mate?
That's a good question. Very good question.
I think it would be somebody very shrewd that would help her get elected.
First.
You know,
go first, Jack.
Yeah.
I couldn't even begin to tell you. Maybe Dennis Kucinich for Bernie. Who the hell knows? But I doubt it. But mm-hmm. Hillary would be somebody. You know, she'd play the geographically balanced and conservative versus so-called liberal thing, and she'll grab somebody who will help her win, and she'll have Bill's help in the background
you're exactly right, Jack. They're going to look at, okay, I'm going to pull this district and this, or this section of the country, this section of the country, this section of the country. We care. What candidate do we have here that, it's just like Roosevelt in his fourth term knew that he was not going to pull that Midwest. So
they should have held on to Wallace. They shouldn't. Well, Truman was good, but Wallace would have been better.
That's when they picked Truman, which gave
that was back
Roosevelt the Midwest
back back office dealings. Office dealings. You know, here's a mind blower. I'm just going to throw this out there for discussion. What if Hillary stuck it to Bernie and said, "Hey, Bernie, I appreciate what you're doing, and let me pledge to you I'll do this, that, and the other thing. Why don't you just drop out and become my VP? Wouldn't that blow your mind?"
That's not out of the possibility, because Johnson was running against Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were putting it together at the convention, they say, mm-hmm. let's pick Johnson because we need Texas. And those other southern states. And someone said, "Oh, he'll never go for it." Kennedy said, and it might have been even Daddy Kennedy, said, offer it to him, he'll take it.
Yeah, exactly.
And
who would have ever predicted he'd become president, but it happened.
I don't think that Clinton, I've seen her looking at Bernie in these debates. I don't know if you guys have been watching, but I have.
Right.
And I have some pretty good marks of judging character, body language, and eye contact.
Oh, right.
She despises the man. And
she's like Trump. She doesn't want anybody opposing her. She just wants to fluff stuff off and kind of manipulate her way through. Fine and dandy. A lot of politicians mm-hmm. do that. But that's why she does that.
Yeah. She will find somebody that will be able to grab the Bernie Sanders demographics in
I
the areas,
so.
And it'll be a blending of the two. Someone
here's another idea. What if she were to grab Elizabeth Warren and convince her to run? Wow.
Oh, my God, would that be fantastic?
Elizabeth Warren can't even make a statement on who she supports yet.
Yeah,
yeah,
I know.
You
she's keeping her mouth shut.
It
gives her more power to do that, really, when you think about it.
Well, she's playing smart. She's
exactly,
playing.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Right. She's not showing her hand.
But, you know, when the chips are down and all of a sudden it looks like Bernie's on the decline or something, if that happens, who the hell knows? You know, Hillary, that would be a real shrewd move.
Well,
I don't think
that would ever happen myself. But
no.
I think
she'll find a Bernie-esque type of candidate in a demographic region that she needs to pull, and that's where it'll come from.
Listen, I think she'll pull an independent in. That's what I think.
Well, that wouldn't be a bad move.
I think she'll put a pliable independent in there. I really do. I don't know why.
It has to be pliable.
I really could be way off, but I have this feeling that that's what she would do.
Right.
Well, you know,
she could.
But of course, she has to sit with the monkey mucks at the DNC over
too. Right.
So it is going to, and doubtless people will suggest Bernie. Doubtless people will suggest Warren.
Yeah, but no, she would view Bernie as too much of a threat, and she'd view him as baggage with the socialist crap and all that nonsense.
Yeah, I agree with Jack on that. Yeah, you're right,
yeah.
Jack.
And I don't think Elizabeth Warren would accept that offer, and I think that they're so antiquated with their thinking still that they'll say it has to be boy-girl. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
that
plus he's got to be young. It'll be a
or
male,
she might take somebody like Barbara
younger.
Lee out of Texas. Hey, there's an idea. Barbara Lee, a
longtime
House member.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That would be pretty good.
That would be a very genius move on her part, I would say. But we're speculating. And, you know, it's dangerous.
That's what politics are. It's speculation until the deed gets done. Really, nobody knows what's going to happen Super Tuesday. I kind of think that Hillary's going to keep her steadfast, you know, majority. I do.
Yep.
But I could be totally wrong. We could all see Bernie just all of a sudden swell up and take, you know, I know he's not taking South Carolina. I mean, geez.
No.
That's just
no,
a
no, no. You're right.
No, that won't happen.
He could take Minnesota. And he could take...
he's behind in Minnesota, but, you know, we just don't know. It's just too hard to say. Minnesota's caucuses are March 1st, and if I can get away, I'm gonna caucus. I don't know if I can, but we'll see.
Do any phone banking for him or anything, Jack?
Well, I'm limited here. I'm not as mobile as I used to be, and I've got responsibilities here that kind of demand my attention, so... I'm not as free as I once was, but if I can, I will, you know.
How about you, Wayne? Are you going to do any phone banking in your free time or
anything? It's free time. I don't have free time. But, yeah, no, I keep my ear to the ground, you know, listen to other people talk. I do do a lot of research and stuff. Where, again, like I said, I use John Nash's game theorem. I pull in all kinds of information. I'll correlate it. Then I'll play it out to what I see as its logical conclusions, and then that's where I go from there.
Yeah.
Well,
so
it's going to be interesting, isn't it? Jack, what's your last post about?
My latest one, I finally got it off. It just says where I've been these past few months and why I have been out of touch, and it explains why my computer blew up, and it blew up at a worst possible time. My father became ill, and I had to deal with that. Daily routine is dealing with my father and his needs and stuff, and it's cut down severely. Well, not having a computer was number one, but number two was the fact that I so much of my day is devoted to taking care of a 94-year-old fella that is mentally alert, but physically is failing, and it's a lot of work, man, and it's not easy.
Yeah,
so I'm not complaining, but I'm just stating the way it is. So that's what it's all about.
And for me, I want to see about getting the professor back on. I think we talked about March the 6th, and I'll give him a heads up and say, this guy is brilliant with political analysis. I'll say, look, here's the scenarios. I want you to prepare yourself and give me, after the Super Tuesday, and kind of give me your projections of where you think you're going. And I'm really interested in hearing what he might have to say. So hopefully on March the 6th we can get the professor on here.
Yeah, that would be great, Wayne. And, you know, I'm going to say this Thursday, everybody look for the Saturday Afternoon Post. It's back in business. And this Thursday, my new post will be a very anti-TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership,
right,
anti-post, illustrating why it is a bad deal and why it should be absolutely not adopted by our Congress. And we still got time to do it. They signed a formal agreement on it in New Zealand on the 4th, but it's still got to be ratified by Congress, and I'm advising everybody to seize your Congress people with anti-TPP sentiment. Let them know, in no uncertain terms, it's a horrible deal and we can't be...
Right. I was going to say, it's just another hosing of the working middle class in this country.
That's right.
That's a worthwhile phone banking there, Jack.
Yeah,
that's true. Oh, boy.
You know, think about posting a link to all the congressmen and senators' phone numbers.
Sure. Well, I'm going to do it in a series because you can't discuss how bad it is only in one post. So I'm going to do it over several. And point out in no uncertain terms how horrible it is and what a threat it is to individual freedom and all that stuff, you know. So that's where I'm going to be at.
We didn't even talk about the iPhone thing.
Breaking up the code and the security aspects.
Oh, I know. Yeah, Apple's in a big brouhaha with the government on that, and the government's paranoid on that again, like they have been, this national security nonsense.
I'm with Apple.
Yeah. All it is, yeah.
I'm with Apple.
They're going to sell it, but basically, I don't. Now, I'm sure they can read mine right now, as it is. It's an Android, but what it is basically, we don't want any secrets. We don't want a population of citizens who are supposed to be voting and running this country, really. Mm. We want to know exactly what they're doing all the time. It's Big Brother. 1984.
The guys
Big
at the
Brother.
NSA that have way too much power and way too much influence, and these guys have got to be curbed. They're dangerous, paranoid people. They're Cheney lookalikes is what they are. They're bad people. Their intention is good, but their overall effect is horrible, and we've got to get rid of it.
I don't think their intentions are good at all, if you ask me. But anyway.
Well, they're misguided. They're misguided.
Well, you know, it's like, who's the one who held his hand over the lighter for so long? You know, who is that? Ehrlichman?
I'd be happy with disadvantage on that one.
Jeez. Yeah. Okay, so we're at the end of the show, the top of the hour. I want to give all thanks and kudos to our friends at
Roundtree7.com.
They sponsor this show every Sunday. And to remind folks to go and check out the Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson.
Minds and Times.
The Saturday Afternoon host over at WordPress with Jack Jodell. Guys, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you, Glenn.
And that's our show for today. So tune in next week. We'll see you here. And
everybody, keep pushing forward.
Very good. Good show, guys. Good show.
Yep. Good night. Talk to you next week, everybody, and look forward to our conversations. Have a great week.
This is the Sunday Show on Here Be Monsters Radio. Thanks. Back next week.